I am and help me preach tonight. Isaiah chapter 39. Then said he, it's the prophet Hezekiah, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried away to Babylon, and nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons, now this is a very important note. If you miss this, you're going to be lost tonight. According to scholars, theologians, Hezekiah is a king, and this is not just speaking of his physical sons. This is speaking of future sons in regards to the descendants of the throne. That they shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. They're going to carry everything in your kingdom before this is said and done. They're going to carry all your goods away to Babylon. And said, then they're going to come and they're going to take their sons and your sons, and they shall make them eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Notice this response. Now, in case you didn't know, that's a good place to get on your knees and pray and repent. That's a good place right there to say, oh God, I've ticked you off, and I'm sorry. But look at this. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth. Let me, I don't know how y'all say it down here. I'll tell you how we say it. We Okie say it. Let me explain this to you. Let me explain this to you. You know what he just said? He just told the prophet, what you said is fine, as long as it doesn't have any impact on me. The prophets just told him, because of decisions that he's made, that everything in his palace will be carried away to Babylon and that his sons will be made eunuchs. And Hezekiah's response to this was fine, as long as it doesn't affect me. You know, these bimbos that want to pick the Bible up and say it's not relevant to today, they need their eyes washed out. They're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. First Chronicles, or Second Chronicles 32, you don't have to turn there. But Second Chronicles 32:24 shines a little further light on the attitude of Hezekiah. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord and spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Verse 25, but Hezekiah, watch this, rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. This is the same man that said, fine, as long as it doesn't affect me. Now, I'm headed somewhere, okay? But in order to get where I'm going, I'm going to have to take a little bit of time here tonight, and I'm going to have to talk about the issues with Hezekiah. But I want you to keep your expectation up, because where I'm really headed tonight is I want to talk about the fate of the sons of Hezekiah. Okay? And my admonishment, now you that are 4 or 5 generations steeped in this, I just need you to be a part of the hallelujah party tonight. Okay, you need to be screaming, hollering, standing on your head, helping me preach. But I want to preach tonight for a few moments. Felt very strong to do this, and God knew who'd be here. I want to preach, don't let your fate become your future. And that's not an oxymoron. Don't let your fate become your future. If you would, take somebody by the hand and lift your voices right now and pray that the word of the Lord would go forth with great anointing, that it would find its mark. Come on, right now. I need some people that know how to pray that will begin to pray right now. That there would be a free flow. God wants to enlighten. God wants to empower somebody in this house tonight. Now, I want you to stop. Now, let me tell you the significance. I don't ever remember using this, what I'm fixing to say. I don't ever remember God speaking this to me about a service. Undoubtedly, I have been in services that this was the case, but I've never had God speak explicitly to me in regards to this that I'm about to say, that I can remember. Tonight, this service is going to be a burning bush experience for somebody. Listen, before you're seated, I want you to pray, because the bush can burn and not be consumed. But if Moses does not turn aside, and I believe God's going to very, very specifically speak into some people's lives, and the bush can burn. But if somebody does not turn aside and hear the voice and receive the commission from God, the bush burning is in vain. So before you're seated, we're going to pray collectively one more time that when the bush begins to burn and the word of God begins to go forward, that somebody will turn aside and say, that man is preaching to me, and help me to receive this as from the Lord. One more time. Lift your voice and let's pray right now. One more time. Come on. I want you to pray with fervency. Pray effectually. Yeah, I hear it. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. Hezekiah begins to, through a series of situations and circumstances, begins to rule at an early age. It's a shame, really, that Hezekiah cannot be remembered and known for the way that he started. I'm not going to run rabbits tonight, but I will tell you, you can start off in a blaze, but in reality, it's all going to come down to how we finish. You can start off doing the right thing, but if you don't keep doing the right thing, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And his kingship, his tenure as king, begins with fury, and a blaze of tearing down this and pulling this down and destroying this and bringing this back. And in fact, he starts off so fast and furious that when you began to read the history of Hezekiah, it looks like that he may very well go down as one of the greatest kings to ever rule God's people. But he gets sick. And if you will allow me to say it like this, it is almost a case of, in my estimation, of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like Hezekiah lives two completely different lives. Let me tell you about it. He gets sick. He is notorious. Most people recognize the name of Hezekiah because of the poetic nature, the beauty of the prayer that he prayed to God when the prophet came to him and told him to set things in order, that he was about to die. And that prayer that Hezekiah prayed as he turned back to the wall went something like this. As he turns to the wall with a death sentence just delivered to him, he says, "O Lord, the grave cannot praise thee." And after some time of petitioning God, God sends Isaiah back to Hezekiah and tells him, "I'm going to let you live for 15 more years." And it's almost immediately that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde sets in, and this man, the next 15 years, is a totally different man than the man that lived the first part of his life. A man that begins to go in a completely different direction. And this is obvious from what I read in 2 Chronicles 32, because the writer in 2 Chronicles says that in the end that Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up. This was not the man before the death sentence. This was not the man, the way he closes this extra 15 years that was given to him. This was not the same man that began blazing in a fury to tear down everything that was wicked and bring back a godliness and a holiness and a fear for God. And this 15 years as it begins, and I have my opinions as to what got him in trouble, but that's not our subject here tonight. I don't know if it was out of insecurities or a need to be affirmed, but when this extra 15 years begins, the king of Babylon sends a letter to Hezekiah. And I feel like, Brother Martin, it just kind of stroked his ego and made him feel good. And you better hear me right now, not just young people, all of you better hear me right now. You can't make alliances with Babylon. Some people say, "Well, I'll connect with the world and keep them at a distance." That doesn't work. You can't taste the world and keep the world out of your life. You can't pick and choose what you want in the world without eventually the world coming and taking over everything. Well, I said I wasn't going to run any rabbits, but I'm going to tell you, that's why we take the stands that we take. That's why we pray the way that we pray, and that's why we separate ourselves the way that we separate ourselves. I'm not going to say everything in the world is not fun. I'm not going to say that all sin is not good to the, feels good to the flesh and looks good to the eyes. I'd be a fool. There's too many people sinning tonight if I told you it didn't feel good or there wasn't any fun to it. But I learned a long time ago, you can't pick and choose what you want from the world. Come on, you take it. You take it all or you take nothing at all. That's why these guys are getting themselves in trouble. Come on. When they're pulling the jury back out and said, "Well, I just don't think it's important that we take a stand against that anymore. And I just don't think it's important that we abstain from that anymore." You better hear me, baby. Won't you open the floodgates? You can't control the flood. You don't let a little bit of the world in without letting the whole world in.
That's why the Apostle Paul said, there are some things, it's not about heaven or hell, it's about expediency. And there are some things that I'm not going to let in my house because it's not expedient. And I understand if I let a little bit of the world into my life, come on, the whole world is going to want to move in.
I don't want you to feel shortchanged. Last time I didn't preach very long and I left and they were pouting. They felt shortchanged. So he may end up getting two sermons tonight. It's his fault if that's what happens. And this is a perfect example. Here's a guy that thinks, I'm going to make an alliance with the world. This is cool. God have mercy. Israel struggled with this. We've struggled with this. Why are we so worried about what the world thinks about us? Well, I just don't want them to think, I don't want them to think we're weird. I don't want them to think we're cultish. I don't want them to think that we're inbred and isolated. Big deal what they want. Big deal what they think about us. Why are we so worried? They're not worried about what we think about them. Crazy if we think we can maintain a relationship with Babylon and keep Babylon at a distance. And Hezekiah thought that he could have a relationship with Babylon and keep them out of his palace. Wonder why some of these kids are killing the way they're killing. Turning on one another. You don't want me to be old fashioned. This 38-year-old man can turn into an 88-year-old man real quick. I'll tell you why they think it's okay to turn guns on one another and knives on one another and all the violence. I'll tell you why. Because they sit at home and they watch it on the television and they play it on a video game. And we stand by and say, well, I don't even know. I can't imagine what made my little Charlie do that. I can't imagine why my little baby girl would want to run off with some man that's 20 years older. You let her sit in the front room of your house and watch movies that are supposed love fairy. You think you're going to control the world? You think you're so spiritual you can determine and control how much you're going to let in and how much you're not going to let in. It's not long. You can have a relationship with Babylon at a distance for a while, but it's not long until Babylon's going to come knocking on your door. And that's exactly what happened. And Babylon, when it gets to Hezekiah's house, doesn't just want to sit in the front room. Where's your treasures at? What's your secrets? I can show you oneness organizations right now that have no semblance. No semblance. In fact, some of them now have moved to the point that they don't believe there's any essentiality in water baptism in Jesus' name. They don't know when a person gets the Holy Ghost and even if it's necessary to be saved. And you go back to the origins and the pathology of what the problem was. You know what the problem was? They started making room for the flesh. And they started bargaining with Babylon. Boy, that right there would preach. You can't bargain with Babylon because Babylon always comes out on top. We're going to let our kids do this. And we're going to start wearing this. And we're going to start going here because this is not going to hurt. Who told you it's not going to hurt you? We'll be friends with Babylon at a distance. God, have mercy. Can I say what I feel right now? And so all of a sudden now, they got guys in their pulpits that don't believe that they the way they believe. But they're flattered because these guys are giving them attention. And they got guys on the keyboard. It's harmless. It's just a keyboard. He's a great singer. He's a great musician. But he doesn't believe the way they believe. He's got four or five girlfriends, and sadly, in some cases, four or five boyfriends.
And we'll stick our head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich and act like it's not going on because he can play a B3 organ? What are we, nuts? We want acceptance so bad by the Trinitarians. We want acceptance so bad, are you hearing me? By the world and all these other organizations that we let this stuff parade up on our platforms. And we think, oh, we're going to win them. We're going to have a relationship. We'll keep them at arm length. Let me tell you what's happening now. Those same places that let Babylon little in by a little bit are not letting Babylon in by a little bit. They look like Babylon now. And they're doing what Babylon does. And they're going to where Babylon goes. Your husband, I'm sure, is well aware of it. Hopefully it's long enough gone now, the evil, the bad of it. But it grieved me when I started getting pictures from that part of the country. When they were celebrating the birthday of Azusa Street. And they put all our young preachers on a platform. And they bring these cats in. We're going to form some kind of alliance. And they bring these guys in that are not of the faith. In fact, as it's unfolded, it's men that at one time had an understanding of the oneness of God. And the revelation of Jesus' name baptism that have basically denounced it and said, no, it's no longer essential. And under the precipice or under the umbrella of we're celebrating 100 years since Azusa, we parade these people on our platforms and our young preachers are sitting there with their mouths hanging open and enamored. I don't know why I'm on this right now. I'm just telling you how that's. And I start seeing the pictures, and it's this great, oh my God, and they call his name. He's in so-and-so's church, and oh my, and it's like we're proud, and we're going to, let me tell you something right now. Are we really willing to take those risks? And it's not long until Babylon knocks at the door. Where's your treasures? What's your secret? And notice what Hezekiah tells Isaiah. I have shown him everything. Why? Because the spirit of the world is like God in this. Now listen closely. It doesn't want just a part of you. It wants everything. What you mean? You showed him everything? You didn't keep anything back? There wasn't anything sacred? Well, it's not going to hurt anything. He'll go back to Babylon. It's far enough away that he'll go back to Babylon and we'll go back to doing things here and everything will be fine. But it made Hezekiah feel good. It stroked his ego. Made him feel like that they were accepting him. They weren't accepting him. They were taking mental notes of where the exits were. Where the guards stood, when the gates were tended, when the gates were not tended. They were mapping out a plan the whole time he was showing them. This is where the treasures are at. This is where they keep. And the prophet says, because you have done this, they will come back and they will carry away everything. I feel something moving in here right now. In fact, I see this thing going a different direction right now. They will come back and they will, the first time they surveyed, the second time they will take it over.
And when they come back to get everything, you will not have the power to stop them. Because when you take the step of letting them see, you've already given them the power to possess. He set the hook. This is what you get yourself into when you're spirit led. But I feel no pressure here tonight. That's what's happening to the spirit, or what has been spirit filled churches across America. This is what's happened. You can't, let me tell you something, there is a danger in worship with no walls. You go read the book of Nehemiah, you go read much of what Ezra prophesied about, and it was the danger of there being worship with no walls, because in 13 years they built the temple, and the temple was a type of worship. But 70 years later, the walls were laid in ruins. 70 years after the temple had been rebuilt, the walls were still laying in ruins. And I could name mainstream organizations that once upon a time at least had a form that looked no different than you cannot do business with Babylon. What fellowship does light have with darkness? None. How can two walk together? I don't think we really stopped to think about that. Have me back in a couple of weeks. I'll preach about the sons. Tonight I'm going to deal with Hezekiah. You cannot do business with Babylon. You will not come out on top. And so they want to start messing with the knobs and say, well, we're going to allow this, and we're going to do this, and this is not important anymore. And you can't tell. You look at people and they want to think, well, they're supposed to be the youth pastor of this, or they pastor this, and they don't look any different or act any different than the next person walking down the street. And Isaiah tells Hezekiah they're going to come and they're going to take everything, everything. And everything's gone and everything's being embraced. And sadly, it's the mainstream message of Christianity in America now is come as you are. Christianity has always had demands. Is this too old-fashioned? The message of Christianity, if you look at the premise, if you read your Bible, it deals with radical revolution. And I'm not just talking about Old Testament. I'm talking about Jesus as He delineates what it looks like to be a follower of Him. If any man shall follow me. No, that's where they want to start. They want to start with taking up the cross. But see, they're twisting knobs. And they're trying to do business with Babylon. And we'll take this and we're not going to do this. And we want to make it more user-friendly. We don't want to be offensive. And let me tell you something right now. There's a little wave blowing through Pentecost right now. Come on, we got a lot of visitors on Sunday morning. And guys are getting in the pulpit saying, you know, you need to tone down talking in tongues. It's offensive to people that don't know what talking in tongues. That's the biggest bunch of baloney. That's the biggest bunch of garbage I have ever heard in my life. I am not going to do business with Babylon.
Don't tell me you're Pentecostal if you don't talk in tongues. Don't tell me you're Pentecostal if you're ashamed to run and dance and leap and shout. I'm not willing to give this up. This is who we are. Well, you got to be politically correct. Jesus wasn't politically correct. Radical. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Jesus died because he offended people. God have mercy. I'm telling you, there is something in me. You are fixing to hear this white boy preach the mighty God in Christ. Come on, in the next few months, like I've never preached it before in my life. Why? I'm going to give you the answer. Do you know why they crucified him? Do you know? Go study your Bible. All he would have had to do was quit saying he was God. All he, apostolic Pentecostals, are you listening? That's all he would have had to do. All he would have had to do was quit saying he was God. All he would have had to do was quit insinuating that he was God. That was their biggest problem with him, is he claimed to be God. Let me tell you right now, I am not going to put a hand over my mouth or apologize that I know, come on, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Let them crucify. When we quit preaching that and believing that and getting excited about that, come on, we're giving in and doing business with Babylon. There's one Lord, folks. There's not many, there's one. I'm going to preach what Jesus said to Philip. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Unless a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I'm not giving that up. I'm not going to put my hand over my mouth and be ashamed of that. You still got to be baptized. You still got, come on, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, the Bible said you are no son of his. They're doing these things. These guys are taking these churches that men have given their lives. Thank God for the Otto Martins of the world. But I got to tell you, there needs to be a whole lot of more Otto Martins. Because there's these young cats, I call them playboys, taking their dad's church. Never stopped to ask the things we asked this morning. Why did Dad have to pay to get it here? And these jokers, just like Hezekiah, they're not thinking about how it's going to affect their kids. They're not thinking about, all they're thinking about is having some number. Come on, so they can tell their friends, hey, Bo, I had 800 in Sunday school this morning. I'm not worried about saying hey, Bo, to anybody and compromising anything to inflate a number. And they're giving that up, and they're giving that up, and they're no longer doing this. Come on, I'm not compromising on baptism. Burial's too important. I'm not going to baptize you how you want to be baptized. I'm not going to baptize you a way that's hip or trendy. I'm going to baptize you the way the apostles baptized, and that was in Jesus' name. And it's just like Hezekiah. They're not worried about how it's going to affect the next generation. As long as it's good in my days. As long as my numbers are up. It's
no wonder. I think God was setting me up as a kid. I think God knew the things that I would be facing in my generation. In 2018, there was a book. He knew the things I'd be facing in 2018. There was a book. I don't know where it came from. It was in our house. There's very few books I remember reading as a child, and there's very few books that I remember reading that left an impact on me. And there was a book in our house where it came from. I don't know, probably a garage sale. And every time I would read this book as a child, it would bother me. I can still physically feel as an adult the way I would feel as a young child when I would read that book, but something would compel me to go back and pick it up again and look at its pictures. And it's the old folk tale of Rumpelstiltskin. I can still remember it clearly. It's a short one. If you've never read it, you can get online and read it before you go to bed. You can't bargain with Babylon and come out on top. You cannot do business with the world and win. You will lose. You cannot have God. You cannot have a move of God. You cannot. The Bible says it is enmity. You go look at the demise of Solomon, and you'll see that the demise of Solomon was his alliances with the world. Well, their women was good looking. Yeah, maybe they were, but guess what? Those women brought their gods. Well, they don't do me. It ain't going to hurt me. It ain't going to hurt me if I date somebody outside of the faith. Well, first of all, the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. Secondly, listen to me. Secondly, you can't just hitch up with a girl because she's good looking without taking everything else that comes with the package. And I'm not going to name names, but I'd probably say enough for you to understand where I'm coming from. There's a superstar who played football that is no longer playing football that has some pretty extreme ideas. And he has just recently, sadly, very sadly, been given an endorsement by a major corporation in our world. But when you get down to the bottom of what's driving this man, it's not even beliefs that he had of his own 5 years ago. When you get to the bottom of this man's agenda and what he's being a catalyst for, it's things that have been put on him by a woman that he got hooked up with. Somebody told me the other day, confronted me. After service, waiting on me. I stood in the foyer with him for 2 hours. So if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you ought to be able to read whatever you want to read. You ought to be able to be friends with whoever you want to be friends with. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you ought to be able to watch whatever you want to watch. And that shouldn't affect you. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, that shouldn't have any impact on you. And it was a Holy Ghost moment. And all of a sudden, her little boy run by. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Explain this to me then. I said, you're in the house. You hadn't been outside all day long. And you're clean. Completely clean. And that little boy of yours comes in from out in the front yard having rolled in a mud hole. I said, you're clean, right? Absolutely. You've been in the house. He's dirty, right? Absolutely. I said, when that dirty boy comes through your front door and he extends his arms and starts coming to mama, I don't care how clean you are. You can't rub clean on dirty and make it clean. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how many times a day you go to church. I don't care how many hours you shikamoshai, see my bow tie. It doesn't make any difference. You can rub that clean up on that dirty movie all day long, and you're still not going to make it clean. But I will tell you this. Dirty has a way, come on, of making clean dirty if you hang around watch dirty. Are you going to have me back? Hey, I'm talking to you. Hey. Buck, slap him. He's doing me the way he does you. Are you going to have me back? I'm blowing this up tonight. Am I okay? All right. Go back and look. Don't say you're the church if you don't know what the church is. Go back to the origins of what the church is. Go back to church. Ecclesia. Go back and study what it's all about. It's the called out ones. Called out ones. Israel got themselves in all the trouble they got themselves in because they got tired. They could not be comfortable with being the sore thumb, sticking out like a sore thumb. They had to identify. They wanted other worlds. They wanted other people to accept them. They wanted to be like other people. Come on. If we're going to say we're the church, then let's be okay with being different. Let's be okay with being separated. Let's be okay with not doing everything that everybody else is doing. If you're doing everything else that everybody else is doing, you need to ask yourself, am I a part of the church or a part of the world? There's no such thing as taking from the best of both worlds. You can't do it. The Bible says you can't love two masters. Either love one, and you'll hate the other. That's why a man can't love two women. You can't love two women at one time. Well, my God, have mercy. You know what they've done? In doing business with Babylon, they've made the next generation eunuchs. Everything's been carried away. There's no semblance of godliness. The women don't look like women anymore. You think the spirit of the world has just kept itself in the world? Not when the church starts doing business with the spirit of the world. Then it comes in the church and the women start being masculine. And women start, our men, young men start acting effeminate. I still believe a man ought to be a man and a lady ought to be a lady. And I think a lady ought to look like a lady and a man ought to look like a man. You wonder how that stuff's got in? I'm trying to help a oneness apostolic bunch right now in another part of the country. And it's come in, and it's come in because somebody way back decided with no thought of the future, they're going to start turning knobs. Because we can play with Babylon as long as we keep them at a distance. And so the outcome, and I'm almost done. The outcome is that it creates a generation of eunuchs. No future. No family. No offspring. And the apostolic message is stopped and stymied. And there is no perpetuation of Pentecost. It comes to a screeching halt. And I walk in and I start preaching the simplicity of the gospel. Things that I've preached here tonight. Things that others would take for granted. Things that would make you yawn. The place packed wall to wall, standing room only, in the balconies. There's videos to prove this happened. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost hits that place. And young people, 8 or 10 rows deep, start flipping over chairs, laid out between, 2 hours later, they're laid between the pews and out across the platform. And a little old mama's coming up to me after church saying, these kids have never seen anything like this before in their lives. Why? Because when Babylon takes the standards and it takes the separation and you can't identify anymore what's God's and what's the world's. You may not be, and it's fine. You'll fight it. I fought it in my kids. The mine syndrome. Mine. But they come by that naturally. We were made in His image. And that possessiveness comes from Him. Mine. God wants you to Himself. Untainted, untouched, unscathed, unpolluted by the world or the influence of the world. She's mine. He died for His bride. She's mine. He has every right to feel that way about her. Make a pass at Sister Martin. You hear that laugh right there? I'm more afraid of her than I am him. Make a pass at her. You don't even have to worry about him. She's going to knock your head off before he gets to you. He's entitled to feel that way about his bride. No thought for the future. What can we do to produce numbers now? What can we do to make... And I'm all about excellence. I'm all about us being better. But not at the cost. I got some music lovers over here. Some music lovers over here. When I started getting down, I could tell there was some music lovers over here. I'm going to tell you, this is the door. If there's a door that Babylon comes through more than any other door, it's the door called music. And don't be surprised by this, because Lucifer he was God's main man. That joker was full of different types of things. Jewels. And he would turn just right. God have mercy. And the light would reflect off of those things. God have mercy. Powerful. Powerful. Pride came in. Pride led to his fall. I'd rather... clunkety, 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 clunky. And people being flat and sharp. Thank God for Brother Jimmy. Praise God. But you hear me right now. I'd rather beat on a bass drum and sing, "Give me that old time religion." Than to hire me a band that comes in on one service on Sunday and God only knows what they did on the weekend. And they come in and every note is right and every riff and every lick is right and everybody's on key and the drummer and the bass are in perfect synchronization and they're saying, "Well, it's good right now, okay, Hezekiah, but I'm not just worried about it seeing, looking good and sounding good right now. Come on, I'm worried about the preservation of this beautiful gospel in the next generation." And what are we turning loose? So, there is something different about this church. There is a reason that God has connected you. There is a reason that God's brought you here. It's because out of your pure hunger and your pure desire to do right and to see God do wonderful things in the earth, God has brought you to this place and brought you to a people that still believe it's important. To not do business with Babylon. On any level. Don't misunderstand me. You won't find anybody in the world that loves the world any more than this church. Come on Sunday morning. How many did y'all have here today on buses? 76 here today. They bust in. Out of God only knows where. God only knows what those kids see and what those... So this is a church that loves the world and we're all about reaching everybody. But we are not going to do business with Babylon. And that is why it feels different here. That's why when you walk in here, it feels different. That's why when you get around the people in this church, it feels different. That's why it has drawn you here. That's why you are here, because God, out of the sincerity of your heart, you are searching, you are looking, you are trying to find a place to fit. Anybody play that game? And I know it's terrible even to use this analogy, but they give everybody a different animal in the barnyard, and it's, you get 100 people in one room, and the objective is all of the chickens has got to find the other chickens. You ever play that game? You bunch of Cajuns, you've been missing out on life. That's Oklahoma. That's farm country. We won't talk about the games y'all played out here. And it's frustrating to walk around making your little noise. And you can't find anybody else. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And he's talking to somebody right now. And he's describing perfectly where you have been the last 6 years. And that's a number just popped in my head. The last 6 years you've been walking around making your sound. And you can't find anybody else that's making your sound. But you found these people and God's connected and brought you here. And all of a sudden you realize there is somebody making the same sound I'm making. And it's making sense. One of my comrades, I'm done, my contemporaries. He's a little bit older than me. But early on, we were cross paths as we crisscrossed across the nation, preaching here and there. But as he chose several years ago to do business with Babylon. And he, just like everybody else, thought he could do business with them at a distance, that it wouldn't affect his kids and it wouldn't infect his church, which it has. He's doing just, well, I just want to be friends. I'm not going to preach the way they preach it. I'm not going to live the way, well, they didn't just remain friends. Now his church looks like the other guy's church. And his kids look like the other guy's kids. I happened to be in a restaurant in a particular city and went into the restroom to wash my hands, get ready to eat and walk out. And when I walk out, many, many years, we hadn't seen each other. And boom, there he is. He was a little defensive, most of them are. And I'm not just going to say they're defensive. I'm going to tell you how we can be too. We can be a little pharisaical. That doesn't help matters. And so I was trying not to be pharisaical. And I hugged him and loved him, told him how much we missed him and what an impact he'd made. So many lives. And he starts bringing up some hotbed issues. that apparently he'd been online and heard me defending things that he had let go, things that were no longer important to him. And he said, do you really think that that's somebody's going to be lost if they do that? And I realized about 30 seconds into this that, because this guy's very silver tongued, and I did not want to get into some verbal joust with him. And so I was formulating a response, and I was going to have one response, and that was it. I was done. I was going to hear him out. And he started spinning that thing. He said, you know, he said, I don't really believe that's a heaven or hell issue. He said, that's legalism. He said, I thought you were smarter than to stand next to things like that. He said, why are you, and he named some names of some elders. He said, why are you letting those elders use you like that? He said, you know, when you lay your head down on a pillow at night, you know, and have fought with your own self, that those things really aren't important. He said, it's a waste. He said, it's a waste of the things that you have and the abilities and the leadership skills that God's given you, that you hang on to two or three things that you say are identifying factors. You'll never build a church like. He said, well, just let that stuff go. And he paused. By this time I could feel, and they were not conjured or worked up, but there were tears beginning to run down my face. And I looked at him and I said, you're right. Maybe it's not a heaven or hell issue. I said, but I'm not confident in my own self and my own abilities to start tinkering with stuff. It's very clear to me that God has blessed to this point. And I said, maybe you're not. I said, but I've got too much hanging on His help. And I don't want to do business in any degree with Babylon that would make him withdraw His help. I said, so you're right. Maybe some things aren't heaven and hell. I said, but I'm just not comfortable tinkering with stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day realizing, because you take a lug off and it won't run the wheel off a mile down the road. But it's not a matter of if. One lug off the tire immediately. Thank you. Immediately. It starts affecting the balance of the vehicle. It starts affecting the handling of the vehicle. You take for granted your five toes. Let somebody cut your big one off. There's a reason God made you with five toes. It helps you balance. Just take one lug off. I can't do business with Babylon. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Because what I do a little bit, my kids are going to do a whole lot more. remember, the Spirit was likened unto a dove. And your Bible says that my spirit will not always strive with man. I've watched doves, and I've watched them on purpose. Because if the Spirit was likened to a dove, I want to know the way of a dove. And the slightest thing spooks a dove. He's gone and he's not coming back. And I don't want to do one thing to make Jesus not want to be here. I depend too much on him. I depend too much on him. So don't let him get you in that. Unfortunately, the situation at hand is what the convulsions in Pentecost. It creates divisions in families. Don't argue with them. Don't argue with them. Don't judge them. Let them do their thing. And if in defense they want to basically tell you how backwoods you still are and how irrelevant you are, just look at them and tell them you do it how you feel like you need to do it there. But we're going to play it safe here. You go look at the guardrails on your way home tonight. I hope your headlights will hit a guardrail. They don't put the guardrail in the middle of the ditch. There's a reason it's called a guardrail. The fact of the matter is, if you move the guardrail, you could probably drive where the guardrail was at. But why would you want to drive that close to the ditch? Well, I can still have revival and do that. We can still grow a church and do that. Why do you want to even try? And what happens is, others have been fooled by others that have chosen to drive where the guardrail used to be. Because what will happen is, you can be careful and do. Merle Cornwell told me something. And when he told me, listen, let me tell you what. When he told me this as an 18-year-old evangelist, I had no clue what he was saying. But at 38, 20 years later, I understand exactly what he was saying. He said, you better not preach a message that won't save your own kids. Okay, you can drive where the guardrail, move the guardrail. You might be able to drive there. But I hope your kids can drive there. I hope the one in your family that's bends, he's bent to be an Eva Knievel and already flirts with, comes out of the womb flirting with nature and gets his stimuli for doing things dangerous. Come on, you drove right there where the guardrail was and you did five for 20 years. I hope your kids can do the same thing. And so others have been fooled to pull up the guardrails and drive like everybody else up against the ditch because it looks like somebody else. But I want to know, did the same thing, did the same principle, did it save their kids? There's been some times that I was thankful that the guardrail wasn't in the ditch. Because the guardrail help save me from catastrophe. I've never been prouder in all of my life to be called a holy ruler. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. I didn't get very many amens there. But I've never been more proud in my life than I am right now to be called a holy ruler. I'm not talking about in a pharisaical look down my nose, holier than you. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, I'm talking about the kind of holy ruler that says, I don't have to do that to be cool. I don't have to identify with the world. I don't care if the world accepts me or not. You know who I'm worried about pleasing? It's not what's coming out of Hollywood, because they don't give a rip. I'm not worried about pleasing sports stars. I want to please Him, because in the end, that's all that's going to matter anyways. That's what's going to get me out of here. That's what's going to get my feet off of the ground. If I have pleased Him, if I have made Him happy. I'm not worried about Babylon liking me. You running that? They ain't gonna believe this is in the Bible, so we're gonna have to show them. First Chronicles 28:4. Stan, I'm done. I wish I had a Did I have a pointer on it? This is David explaining. This is David talking about why God picked him over his brother. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel. For the other ones were more qualified in war. The others were more experienced on the battlefield. Chose me before all the house of my father to be king of Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of the Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father. Here's the reason. He liked me. The reason he made me king over all of Israel is because he liked me. And if he... Oh God, I'm trying to clean it out tonight. I'm not trying to clean my... I don't want to be offensive. My God, this man, he's got it all. He liked... You need to get one of these when you're teaching. He liked... Somebody say, he liked me. And if he likes me, I don't give a rip what Babylon thinks. Because Babylon can't do that right there. Babylon can't crown anybody king of Israel. I don't care what Babylon thinks. Babylon doesn't give, Babylon takes. You didn't hear what I just said. The world, don't let the world tell you they're going to give you opportunities. The spirit of the world, I tell you the spirit of the world, he comes to give life. He said, I come to give life and life more abundantly. The spirit of the world, it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, I'm not worried about what Babylon's doing. Right there. Oh, I like that even better. He liked me. 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 My college professor may have not cared for my dress. Come on, ladies. But he liked me. My college professor may have not liked my God. But he liked me. My friends at school may have ridiculed. But he liked me. He liked me. My family may have said, you're a part of an occult. I don't care. He liked me. He liked me. He liked me. Let him look down his nose at you if he wants. College professors, shame on them. I've gotten stories as of late. They've looked at our young ladies, godly and holy, told them they look like prairie chickens.
Huh? But he likes me. He likes prairie chickens. And guess what? The world's starting to pick up on this, and it's tickling me to death because now it's so cool in the world. Come on, when a lady leaves the house with no makeup on her face. Imagine that. And you know the words they're using? Organic. You know what they're really trying to say? Look, this is how God really made me. But I got news for you. You're not a prairie chicken. You're a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar people. Hallelujah. You're not a prairie chicken. Come on. You're a child of God. You're blessed. You're favored. He likes me. He likes me. He likes me. Let them say what they want to say. Let your response be, yeah, but he likes me. Yeah, but he likes me. The boys at school may not like how I dress. Yeah, okay, but he likes me. Now, don't you lie to me. How many knew that scripture? How many knew that was in the Bible? Don't lie. That's what I thought. And the reason I put it up there, I knew if I told you, you'd think I'm lying. And I didn't go find another translation to get it to say what I wanted it to say. That's in the good old raw KJV. With all of its vowels and yees. And double negatives. He likes me. He likes it. I don't care what the liberals say. He likes it. I don't care what Hollywood say. He likes it. Hey, I'm preaching, not you. He likes you too. Brother, if he likes you, he'll like anybody. Ain't that right? Me and you too, brother. Come on right here. Hey, we got Brother Thomas. He likes him too. You think? Brother Thomas, what do you got to say about that? You know what he just like, okay, he likes me, but I'd like to get a woman to like me. Woo, glory. We're having revival right now. Hallelujah. Woo. Hey, but Brother Thomas, if you can't get a woman to like you, he still likes you. Hey. Hey, every time you start getting discouraged, look at your big old pastor. God made somebody feel sorry for him. He got a wife. So you just. Don't take that. Are you still in HDR? What age group are you in? 21's too young. We're going to turn HDR into... Never mind. You don't want any of them girls listening right now anyways, because they ought to be in church at their own church. He likes me. Babylon says... Let's work up a deal. King, he likes me. Let's do some business. King, and I've got too much hanging on that. Some things I do, and I don't know if it's heaven or hell, but I don't want to do anything. I don't want to take anything away that pleases him that might make him dislike me. Because he can do it. Because the Bible says, Esau hath I. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated.
Esau did business with Babylon. I want to keep myself for him. Let's stand right now. Connect with somebody. And I want you to lift your voice and begin to pray right now. The Holy Ghost is in this place. I know you're here. I know you're here, but I want you to identify yourself. If you're here and you say more than anything else, I want him to like me.
Come on. Come on.
And he does. They do like you. Well, he likes you. And if they didn't like you, that wouldn't matter anyways. Your enthusiasm, your love for God, your sincerity, he likes that. He likes that. So if you're here tonight and you stay, nothing else matters. Nothing. Let the whole world turn their back on me. If I can please him, if I can make him happy, here's what I want to do. I want to close this service like this. If you're here tonight and you will not leave here, hear what the disclaimer I'm fixing to give you. You will not leave here and execute this perfectly. There's a reason the Bible talks about practicing godliness. Okay? It's not something you master overnight. But if you're here and you say, I want to make the choice, publicly make the choice tonight to separate myself solely unto God. And I want to do everything in my personal power to keep myself from being spotted, blemished by Babylon. Bible says the church he's coming back for is going to be a church without. They have not been blemished by Babylon. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what kind of lines you may have already crossed. I believe, I'm going to tell you how I believe. I believe there's still something to a young person keeping their chastity, their virginity until marriage. Uh-oh. He likes me. But I tell you what else I believe. I believe you can cross that line. And I believe in just like a service like this one right here. I believe you can make a decision to separate yourself.
Come on now.
And I believe you can cross back over that line. Just because there's lines that you've crossed doesn't mean that you have to stay on that side of the line. You can come back to the other side and say, okay, from this day forward, I'm going to keep myself.
Come on.
This shouldn't just be the young people. I'm going to separate myself unto God. If you're going to do that right now, I want you to step out from where you're at. Everybody in this place, it ought to be everybody. Well, I done that a long time ago. Well, we're going to do it again. Come on, right now. I'm going to separate myself unto God. You want to be used of God. I want to be used. I want God to do something with my life. I want God. I want to be a blessing. I want. Come on, that's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. You better change that title up there. Refusing to do business with Babylon. We'll come back and do Don't Let Your Fate Become Your Future. We'll come back and do that later. Come on. This is a holy moment right now. And I'm not here to hang dirty laundry out, okay? But there's been some lines crossed. Don't keep living in condemnation. Just as you went like this, you can take a step back. I don't know what you let come in. I don't know what you started participating in. I don't know what you started giving yourself to. I don't know what you've been involving yourself in. But take a step back. I cannot have alliances at a distance with the world without them cleaning out my treasures. I'm separating myself unto God. Why? Why am I separating myself unto God? Because I want God to pick up. You know what He uses? He uses what's been separated unto Him. And I want my life separated unto Him to be something that He picks up and does something productive with me. How many wants the Lord to... You want the Lord to use you? Anybody want the Lord to use you? You want to do something for God? Put yourself in a position for God to be able to do something with you. You go through the Bible and you follow, especially through the Old Testament, the word holy. And it's something that has been set apart. It's been set aside. So when I do something for the sake of holiness, it may not be a heaven or hell deal. What I'm trying to do, God have mercy, it's a revelation. I'm helping myself right now. What I'm trying to do, I may not be trying to save myself from hell. Some holiness issues is not just about saving me from hell. It's separating me and saying, okay, God, if you're going to pick somebody, pick me. If you can use somebody, use me. Come on now. It's not always an issue of whether I burn like a crisp or not. Sometimes it's an issue of holiness because I want God to see me and say, that's somebody I can use. That's somebody I can do something with. That's somebody I can trust with my glory. I give myself away. Lift your hands right now. And give yourself away. This is not mama putting you on an altar as a baby. I've done that before. Do it again. Lift your hands and raise your voice. And tell God, I want you to use me. Come on, right now. I want you to like me. Come on, right now, young people, lift your voices. Come on, young ladies, lift your voices. Purity is not your problem. Don't let the devil tell you your problem is purity. Your purity is where your power's at. Separation's not keeping you from getting married. Separation's what's going to help you marry the right guy. Come on. Come on, tell him. Come on, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm not going to split my time, God, between you and Babylon. I'm not going to split my affections between you and the world. I am yours totally and completely and wholly.
Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Come on, let's pray right now. Come on, lift your voice and let's talk to God right now.
I give myself away.
Come on, there's a burning bush right now. Somebody, talk to God. Come on, haraba hashata yada la mohoto yada la la ma yato yada la la spa yada la la. Come on, somebody, there's a burning bush right now. Turn aside. There's a bush burning. Turn aside. There's a bush burning. Turn aside. Come on. Come on, Olivia, sing it. Come on, sing it. Come on, I give myself to you, God. I give myself to you, God. I give myself to you, God. You see the desire. You see it. God, he's had this desire since he was a young boy. God, I believe you've led him to the right place. I believe you're connecting him to the right people. God.
I give myself away.
Pastor. Brother Mark. Pastor. Come on, folks. There's a burning bush. There's a burning bush. There's a burning bush.
I give myself away.
There's a burning bush, folks. Turn aside. Come on, God's talking to you, young lady. God's talking to you, young man. God's calling you deeper. God's calling you deeper. God's calling you deeper, young lady. God's calling you deeper, young man.
So you can use me. I give